Good morning. Hope you are aware that we are in the season of prayer. So the services will be very unorthodox. We'll not follow anything this morning, so facilitators. Sorry, you're not following the formula I gave you. Okay. Shall we break up into our Bible study classes right now, please? Just leave the chairs as they are. Okay. We'll turn them at the appropriate time, but not now. Oh, I was going to say, I like the way you quietly move to your classes, but now some people have started talking plenty. Just move to your classes very quickly. There's so much to do and we don't have time, so... By the way, today is Auntie Gina's birthday. Shall we say happy birthday to her? God bless you bountifully as you enter this next phase of your life. But we are in the season of prayer, so this morning we're going to spend some time praying. We're going to spend quite a lot of time praying before we even hear the word of God. Okay. Last week I promised us a song from the Gator Vocal Band, so I want us to listen to that song now, and then after that we'll our leaders in a time of prayer, then we'll hear the word of God, then we'll break up, we'll now turn into our classes and have some further discussions.
This has been an awesome night, isn't it, wonderful? How many of you like Negro spirituals? An old black lady down south showed me something about the Negro spirituals, and I want to share it with you. You know, the black folk down south had more sense by accident than some of us have on purpose, you know what I mean? You didn't hear what I said. Heard an old black lady say, son, if the mountain was smooth, you couldn't climb it. Uh-huh, think about that. But did you know, she said to me, did you know all, just about all Negro spirituals are written on the black notes of the piano? This is absolutely true. You can go home tonight and play almost any Negro spiritual, just play the black notes on the piano. You look skeptical. Now, you can't see it out there, but I want you to watch. Watch. There are five black notes on the piano. And those same five black notes just keep recurring. You can go home tonight and play almost any Negro spiritual. Just play the black notes. Watch. You know that? Every time I feel the spirit, just black notes. Watch this. That's because the slaves didn't come to America with do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. That's somebody else's scale, okay? All they had in their musical scale were those five black notes. We know it in music as the pentatonic scale. And they built the power and pathos of the Negro spiritual on five notes. When you study music, you also come across what are known as white spirituals. Did you know that? And they are white composers who worked with those that scale. In early America, they used to call this the slave scale. And I'm going to play for you what some musicologists think is the most famous white spiritual built on the slave scale or just the black notes. Anybody tonight know who wrote that song? I heard it, a man by the name of John Newton. But do you know what John Newton did before he became a Christian? He was the captain of a slave ship. And many believe heard this melody that sounds very much like a West African sorrow chant, and wrote the words Amazing Grace and set his words to a slave melody. I looked up that song. I believe God wanted that song written just the way it was written, just so that we would be reminded that as Christians, whether black or white, free or bond, in his eyes, we're all connected. We are connected. And we are connected by God's amazing grace. Congress. I looked up that song, and wherever you see it authentically printed, you know what it says? Words, John Newton, melody unknown. I tell the Lord, when I get to heaven, I want to meet Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but boy, I want to meet that slave called unknown. And I recorded that song. The way I hear it, when I sing it, I still hear the sounds of the slave ships in the water. I want to sing it for you the way John Newton probably first heard it, coming up out of the belly of the ship. Listen.
Bible tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. If you have experienced of God's grace, you want to sing of His love and that grace all the days of your life, and you look forward to the day when you'll be in heaven and you see Jesus face to face, I don't know what kind of questions you would ask Him. How did you do it? Why did you do it? Why me? I mean, millions of questions perhaps you may have on our mind. But one of the reasons why when we come to church or when we are at home, we find it difficult to read our Bible, to talk to God, to think about God, is because we don't appreciate the grace. The grace that saved us, we don't think about it. We don't value it. We don't treasure it. We don't meditate on it. So it doesn't mean much to us. So we cannot sing of the worth of that grace. Possibly one of the reasons why last week when we started talking about dying to self, some of you don't understand what we are talking about, and I appreciate that. We will make you understand. In this season of fasting and prayer, I'm not going to ask you whether you're fasting or praying, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will make you fast and that you understand what you are doing. Dr. Otabo declared at the beginning of the fast that this is a season, please don't ever miss this, this is a season that will seek God. It's all about Him. It's not about a time that you resort and receive. It's not about the blessing. Oh, yes, you will be blessed. Oh, yes, the glory will come down. Oh, yes, you will be excited. But it's a season of seeking God, getting to know Him. It's all about Jesus. Winnie Elton, thank you so much for this morning. You really blessed my heart. I wasn't feeling too well. I wasn't going to do anything in church today, but now I'm strong. Thanks to what you did. It's about Jesus. Friends, this life is all about Jesus. You are either with Jesus or against Jesus. Paul told us in Acts that we're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You are either in the kingdom of darkness or you are in the kingdom of light. There's no middle ground. This is what dying is all about. And many of you are wondering, I'm alive, what is death? You see, if you read Ephesians, those of you who have had time to look at it, Ephesians talks about the fact that you were dead in our sins. You were dead in our sins. Christ, the Holy Spirit, brought us back alive in the Spirit. There are two things. You are either dead in the flesh or you are alive in the Spirit. And when you are born again, you are alive in the Spirit. So don't go back to your old death in the flesh. And that's what dying is all about. When we say that I've been crucified with Christ, it means that you are dead to your old life. The immorality, the cheating, the anger. Think about whatever it is, anything that has to do with your own life. The Bible says you crucified them with Christ on the cross. Let them stay there and walk alive in your new life. This morning, we want to spend the next 15 minutes praying. Ask God to open your mind to understand what grace means. Ask Him to help you to understand what it means to put to death your old life and walk in your new life. Shall I rise upon our feet, if you may? If I live, I live for you. Should I die, I'll die for you. In all my ways, I am ever yours. If I live, I'll live for you. If I live, I'll live for you. Should I die, I'll die for you. In all my ways, I am ever yours. If I live, I live for you. Let this be your declaration. All the days of your life, you will live for Christ. You will put the old life to death. You will cause it to remain dead. By faith, by choice, I choose to live for Jesus. No matter what happens in my life, I will seek Jesus in these 40 days of power. And for the rest of my life, I will seek Jesus in sorrow or in pain. I will seek him in joy or in sadness. I will seek him in failure or in success. I will seek him in financial success or depression. I will seek him. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus, the Lamb of God that was slain for my sin, the Lamb of God that died for me, the Jesus who rose up from the dead that I might live. I'll live for him. I choose to live for him. I choose to live for him. Lord, grant me grace to live for him. Grant me grace to choose right. Grant me grace to walk right. Grant me grace to walk in the path of life in the Holy Spirit. May I not be dead in the flesh. May I not be dead in the flesh. May I not resurrect the flesh that died. May I walk in the Spirit. Help me to understand what it means to walk in the Spirit. Help me by your power. Help me by your power. Help me by your power. And cause me to be a witness. Together souls. Together souls. Together souls. Together souls. Together souls. Because I am yours, Lord. You died for me. And I'm yours. I am yours. I am yours, Lord. All I desire in this world is you. All I seek is you, Lord. I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. I want to live with you. I want to stay in your power. I want to walk in your way. I want to walk by your grace. I want to walk in your power. Lava la la ba shataria. Le ba kose se mele saturanda. Le karo ba shani la la ba hasaya. Papando says a very adosaya. Le paro shadala la mama saya. I am yours, Lord. I am yours, Lord. My life is not my life. My life is not my life. My life is not my life. I am yours, Lord. I am yours, Lord. I am yours, Lord. Because you are my source, you are my everything, you are all that I need. I will seek Jesus. I will seek Jesus. I will have Jesus. I will walk with Jesus. La paria do sahab, le ma paria lo senderia do sahab, le pata la lo baba shantad, la paria lo lo senderia do sahab.
Shut up, shut up, shut up.
Time to break up that fallow ground. You have been in a still life for too long. You have been in unfruitful life for too long. It is time that we break that fallow ground and seek the Lord until He comes and rains righteousness and power and His glory upon our lives. In all my ways, I live for you. uncomfortable at God's word, we are going to launch out into the deep. We will gather in souls. We will gather in blessings. We will gather in substance. We shall not waste any. And nothing will be lost. It is time to go deeper with the Lord. Enough of lukewarmness. It's time to seek God in this season until He endues us with power from on high. In all my ways, I am ever yours. If I live, I live for you. In all my ways, I am ever yours. If I live, I live for you. Please take your seats. Church, I want us to remember this. Don't you ever forget. Your life is no longer yours. You have been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. You don't know how long you are going to live. Don't tell yourself after BEC, when I get to the university, when I start working, when I marry and I build my house, I will serve God. It might be too late. That time may never even come. Many of us in Teen Chapel don't know our sister Odura. A few of us know her, and some of us know her sister Abba. She was a student in the US working on a doctorate degree. She used to be in Teen Chapel. She tragically lost her life through a terrible car accident. She died on the spot. Nobody knows when it's going. There's no guarantee that you grow as old as I am. Think about life. And think about what God has done in your life. And think about what He wants to do in your life to impact others. Keep talking to your friends about Jesus. Talk even to your enemies about Jesus. They also, Christ died for them. We invite Uncle Ivan to share an exhortation with us, and then we'll spend some time in our classes.
Amen. 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 Galatians 2:20. Oh, I'm not asking you to open your Bible. I thought we were reciting it. Galatians 2:20. Why are you hiding your face? Why are you hiding your face? Amen. We are on a series of talking about being crucified with Christ. Amen. Amen. Last 2 weeks, we heard Uncle Nicholas preach on take up your cross. It's a continuous thing. So those of you who come to church one Sunday, then you go and put your notes down, and you come next week empty-headed, empty hearts. Please, don't be doing that. Amen. For the next few weeks, we'll be talking about what it means to be crucified with Christ. And when Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ," some of you don't understand what it means. Some of you don't know how to apply it to your life. So in the exhortation and in the Bible study groups, that is what we'll be doing, talking about what it means to be crucified with Christ, what it means to die to your desires. Amen. To be crucified with Christ, when Paul says he's crucified with Christ, what he's simply saying is that a part of him died, or something about him died with Christ on the cross. Something he used to be, a certain state he used to be in, died with Christ on the cross. In the scripture, in this particular context, Paul was talking to the church in Galatia. Interesting thing about the church in Galatia was that Paul founded it himself, right? And he was the one who preached the gospel to them, and they became a church. And then, but the church in Galatia were Gentiles. How many of you know who Gentiles are? Hey, Bible reading. So Gentiles are people who are not Jews. It's as simple as that. If you are not a Jew, you are a Gentile, right? So Paul was speaking to the church. He was writing a letter to them. And the reason why he was writing the letter to them was because these Gentiles started getting deceived. Some Jews had become Christians, and the Jews felt that because Christ was a Jew, if we should follow him into this Christianity, then we should keep practicing our Jewish ordinances or our Jewish practices. And Paul was... But Paul preached to Gentiles, and Gentiles also became Christians. So the Gentiles were confused whether to follow the Jews in their Jewish practices or to just keep doing the things that Paul told them to do. One of the Jewish practices was circumcision, right? The male son should be circumcised. And the Jews were trying to downplay the fact that because the Gentiles are not being circumcised, they are not practicing the Jewish ordinances, that they are also not Christians. So the whole point of the letter was Paul trying to tell them that Christianity is not based on all those religious activities and things you do. I'm hoping that all of us have read the book of Galatians, because we've passed a long time ago. Right? Right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So he was trying to tell them that Christianity is not about all those Jewish ordinances. And Paul started using his own life as an example. And that's one of the reasons why he uses this statement, right? And Paul was saying that I was crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. What Paul was trying to say is that even though I'm a Jew, all the things that I used to know, all the things that I used to practice because I'm a Jew, are not the things that I brought into Christianity. When you come into Christianity, you come fresh. That is why the Bible says that all things are passed away, all things have become new. You come fresh. Please stop talking. You come fresh. You come empty. Right? You don't come with you carry all your sins and bring it into Christ. That's why at when they are doing, altar call and things, they'll tell you to leave the old life behind, come to Jesus, let him make your life new. When we are talking about Jesus making your life new, we are not necessarily saying that, oh, when you become a Christian, everything will become better. All of a sudden, you will start getting ones in your subjects. All of a sudden, the 60 that you used to get to become 90, or the 10% that you used to get in Asante Tree, all of a sudden to become 85. That's not what we are saying. We are saying that when you become a Christian, you are becoming a new person. A different person. And Paul, in making this statement, says that we are dead, or we have been crucified with Christ, which means that something about us has died when we became a Christian. When you became a Christian, something about you died. Today we'll look at what to die means, what death means, right? The first thing death means is that death is the absence of life. When something is dead, the thing's activity ceases.
so I don't like standing here.
The things activity ceases. So if you are dead, it means that no matter what we do to you, your activities have stopped. If you used to sing in the choir, if you die, your singing has stopped. That's the end. Unless maybe in heaven's choir, they recruit you. Some of you, the way you sing in church, when you get to heaven, the angels will tell you, stand aside. Because the way you've been doing yourself, like, I mean, the president's daughter. I have no idea how you behave if maybe Queen Elizabeth was your mother or your grandmother or something. Because even right now that your father is driving Toyota Corolla, I see the way you are behaving. Right? Death means that something has ceased to exist. Life has stopped flowing through that thing. One of the things that die when you become a Christian is sin. Sin has to cease to exist in your life. The stealing you've been stealing, when we check your life after a while, it should no longer have life in you. Gossiping should no longer have life in you. Cheating in class should no longer have life in you. Some people are memory. The midterm exam, they cheated question 3. That's what death means. Death means that there is no life in the thing. When we check, when we scan your life, after a while, when you become a Christian, after a while, when we scan through your life, the things that you used to do when you were not a Christian, we shouldn't find them alive in you anymore. They shouldn't be like today they've come, then tomorrow they'll go away, and then they'll come back. No, that's not death. Death is not coming in and out of coma. Today, there you've put it to death, tomorrow, then it's alive. No. It should die in you permanently. So start asking yourself, what are the things that used to exist before I gave my life to Christ that are still pestering me now? Some of your love for food is so alive. Like 40 days of power, we are on day 4, or Thursday, Friday, day 4. But up till now, up to 12, cry, you can't do. Those of you fasting 6 to 9, that's not fasting. Some of you are laughing, but you know in your heart that that's what you are doing. It's not fasting. Your love for food must die. And you see, these things, how do things die? Things, it's not every time that something will die a natural death. Right? Sometimes you have to put the thing to death. You have to intentionally do it. That's the reason why we fast. You fast so that your love for food will die. I say, hey. My class, apart from fasting food, they are fasting other things. Some of them are fasting social media. So that, so when you wake up after 40 days of power, you shouldn't open Instagram first. That is how you backslid yesterday. You want to continue. Your love for certain things must die. Anything that is not spiritual, anything that is not godly, you have to make sure that your love for that thing dies. That thing shouldn't have activity in your life. The next thing that death means is that death means that you are unresponsive to the things around you. You can't respond. Last year, when we lost one of our facilitators last year, I don't know whether it was Moses or some of the facilitators, some of us went to the hospital. It was just minutes after he had died, and we're praying for him. We prayed to a point, and then after a while, I just became sad. Do you know why I became sad? one of I do, maybe you guys know him, he's called AJ. AJ was praying, and after a long while, he started hitting the body, and the body was not responsive. You can't hit it. Has your pet died before? You can do anything you want to do to a dead thing. It won't respond. That is why when you are roasting chicken, the chicken doesn't shout and say, it's too hot here. No. One of our former presidents, some people were threatening to go on a demonstration. And he said that he is a dead goat. It's an expression in my language. It means that whatever they do to you, you don't care. You don't respond. You're already dead. I don't know whether you watch a lot of movies. When you watch movies and somebody is dead, you see that sometimes when they shoot the person is dead, but they try and add extra bullets to make sure that the death has gone deep. When they add the extra bullets, does the person respond? It's only in Ghanaian movies that the dead people respond. Yeah, it's only Ghanaian movies. I've not seen even Indian movies when they shoot people, they don't respond again after they are dead. So those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, it means I've been watching too many Ghanaian movies. Try and mix it up. Try and go to Nigerian movies more, then you move from there. But a dead person is unresponsive to the things around him. Everything cannot affect you. As a Christian, everything affects you. Eh? You wake up in the morning, you can't find your belt. So, I used to be like that too. That's my sister is there. One day they lashed me. My father lashed me because I woke up in the morning, I couldn't find my belt. I said I won't go to school. And the interesting thing, he used his belt to lash me. Some of you wake up on Sunday, the weather is too cold, so I won't come to church. You are too responsive to the things around you. Pay attention. Pay attention. You are too responsive to the things around you. So when you watch a movie today and they do like 2 seconds kissing scene, no, that's it. At 2 a.m. you wake up, you type www.somethingsomething.com. Because everything affects you. Everything. When you are dead, things don't affect you by heart. You are unresponsive. See, you get to points in life. If you like, go and ask the facilitators who are at big positions in their companies. Otherwise, you'll be there, you see your face in the news. And then they are prosecuting you for bribery and corruption. Meanwhile, you didn't even know that the money they gave you was a bribe. Ask. People fell into temptation because they couldn't even tell the line. Sometimes don't put yourself in a situation where now you have to be trying to find out, is this a sin or this is not a sin? Is this acceptable? This is not acceptable. No, just die now so that you are unresponsive to it. Death does not mean that you go and wake up and you... I'm not talking about suicide, please. Some of you are laughing, but I know. I'm watching certain things. I feel like they are thinking about suicide and things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about giving up, like, stop responding. Stop responding. See, the way the world is going, it's not going to get any easier. Like, temptations won't be less temptations. Tempting. Right? Sin won't stop. It will increase. And those of you who are not reading your Bibles, you are surprised. It won't become easier to become a Christian. It is going to get harder. If you don't die now, you will give up. Just this weekend, I heard that now in the US, teachers are transforming people's children without their permission. So your child will go to school, then they'll start pumping the idea that, oh, you are a girl, but you look like a boy. You are a girl, but you look like a boy. Before you realize, they've put your child on hormone, whatever medication, without your knowledge. And the child won't even bring it home. They'll be giving it to him in school. I mean, they have more time with the child than you. Sin is going to get, is going to come at you. Recently, there's a message that I heard. They were explaining the word, the verse that says that your adversary, the devil, he's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is not, he doesn't get tired. I remember when I was teaching a Bible study class there, right? Those in the university now, when they were in SHS 1, I was teaching them. I told them that when you check hardworking people in the world, the devil is like number one. He works hard. He doesn't go on retirement. He doesn't rest. So if you think that you won't die to your desires, you are just going, his works are going to get more and more creative. Do you know what that verse means? Your adversary, the devil. The adversary there is the word that we say Satan. Satan. The word Satan in the Jewish language, in Hebrew, is not a name. It's a title. It's HaShatan, the adversary. Do you know what an adversary is? An adversary is somebody who has set himself against you. That's his purpose. He has decided to set himself against you. So you are walking there, you think that nothing is at stake. He is against you. That's an adversary. The things that you are struggling with now, they are not going to become easier. They are going to become more difficult. Right now, you can't, small midterm exam, 10 questions. You are cheating from question 5 to 10. You will meet university exams and it's 200 MCQs. And they'll tell you that if you choose the wrong answer, it's minus 1. Go and ask the medical students and the law students, they'll tell you. If you get one wrong, it's minus 1. So you can finish your whole midterm and you are owing the lecture marks. And you are cheating question 1 to 10 now. What shows you cheat there? When I went to first year, the first mid-semester exam, we were the very first one. A girl was, she was sacked from school. She was in my friend's class, pharmacy. She had cheated her way to school. And then when she got to a university, mid-sem, she wanted to cheat again. In the process of cheating, the provost was passing by the window. When they saw her, they just called her. When he got to the office, he just made the secretary type out the sack letter. And he signed it, and they gave it to her, and she went home. Less than 1 month in school, her university career has ended. You have to make up your mind that even if I'm failing the subject, I'll still continue. I'll write it like that. Some of the boys here, a certain body shape, if you see it, that's it. You are finished. If you don't take time, you will have twins in the next 9 months. You have to learn to die to those things. Be unresponsive to those things. Most of you are on social media. Have you checked Instagram lately? If you are looking for a Christian post, you can scroll like 20 worldly posts before you come across one Christian, this one. Even those of us who are following only Christians, we are still suffering. Then you that you are following Ariana Grande and the likes, anyway, it's finished. See, die to your desires. But death to your desires does not come by you trying. You try. If you try alone, you will fail. If you try, go and ask anybody who was a Christian, sir, and then backslid and finally went into the world totally. You realize that they were trying with their own energy. The thing is that the person you are fighting against, he has been in existence for a long time. If not for anything, he has experience, you don't. If you try on your own, you fail. That's why we tell you to do your Bible reading. That's why we tell you to do quiet time. That's why we tell you to pray. Because that's the only way to have the help of. You see, if you are going to die to your desires, it means that something else must be living in you. Someone else must be alive. That's why Paul says that, but Christ who lives is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. If you go and do it, it is no longer I who live, and you stop there. In eternity, you won't be living. Christ has to live in you. He's your passport. He's your ticket to the new life. You can't do it alone. We are talking about death to yourself, death to yourself. Some of you, you go this week, then you say that, oh, as for this week, dear, I won't open Instagram again. I won't open social media again. But your Bible is closed. In a few days, the number of posts you like on Instagram will be more than the posts you've liked ever in your life. I'm telling you. Jesus made a statement that if you cast out the devil from a person, or you cast out demons from a person, and the demons go, and they come back, they find the place swept, clean, nice, he will go and invite his friends. If you think that you can just stop the thing and ask for better in there, from today I've stopped. You see, the season has ended, so let me use this time to stop. When the season starts, I'll be strong. And you do it without God. When Manchester plays his first match, you will go and bet. That's why it's important to spend time with God. When you say spend time with God, it's not about, it's not God. You see, sometimes you say that the only thing God cannot do is to praise himself. Go and read the book of Exodus and see. God was praising himself. He was passing by. He was saying, the Lord, full of mercy and compassion. He was praising himself. God, when it comes to your Christian life, it is not God's need of you that brings you to his presence. It's your need of him. It's your need of him. If you decide to do Christianity without God, you are not even doing Christianity in the first place. So if you want to become a praise and worship leaders, you have icons, Victoria Renzi, Nathaniel Bassi, all those people. You are learning all their riffs and rounds, all their skills. Do you know what it took for them to get there? Death. Everyday death. Recently, I was listening to Victoria Renzi, and she was saying that when she's even going to minister at places, it's not, she doesn't even consider the place based on the how nice the church is, or how big the church is, or how much money they will give her. All she's looking at is, did God send me there? So you can invite her to the biggest platform in the world. If God didn't send her there, she won't go. You, if we give you a chance right now, entertainment, then you say, I'm going there to go and glorify God. Then you go and sing one Christian song. Then the three songs that are left will be, in quote, motivational songs. If you don't die to the flesh now, see, you can be in ministry and you are not dead to your desires. You are not dead to sin. And the devil will still use you nicely. Becoming rich is not only Christians who become rich. I hope you know that. I hope you know that most of the rich people in the world are not Christians. Even the good ones, in quotes. Even the ones who ship food to Africa and things. I hope you know that they are not Christians. Do you know that after judgment, they do all go to hell? Do you know? No matter what they did, they could have sponsored a church. If they were not Christians, they would still go to hell. It's not about becoming, when we are talking about becoming a Christian, it's not about finding a way to get rich. It's not even just about finding a way to enter heaven. Some of you are so concerned about just entering heaven. You won't enjoy this Christian life if you are living. See, God and you cannot be living in the same. Somebody has to be the master of the house. Somebody has to be the master of your life. You can't be the master of your life and God will be in the background. Anywhere God is, he has to be in control there. If he's not in control, he will leave. If you are running your life on your own, you are wondering how people are hearing God, you are not hearing God. It's because they died and you are still alive. Some of you are not even concerned. Recently, I was talking to my class and I was asking them what they are praying for. When I preach, I always mention you and they are in the corner there. I was asking them what they expect from the fasting and prayer. Some people were saying they didn't have any expectation. And I asked them, how many of you have heard God for yourselves before? And not many of them raised their hands. And I was worried. I was asking them, aren't you concerned? Aren't you concerned that people your age can hear God? People you are passing in class know scripture more than you. You are not concerned. They died though, a long time ago. You are still alive. That's the difference. And death is daily. You do it every day. That's why we do our quiet time every day. That's why we pray every day. Your Bible reading, when we finish, some of you are thinking that, oh, let's hurry up and finish this thing. I've read, son. Let's hurry up and finish so that they will leave my case for me. When we finish, we are starting again. The next day, there's no vacation. In Christianity, there's no vacation. Go home and come back. We don't do that. That's why when you're on vacation, Teen Chapel is still open. You die every day. That's why you do quiet time every day. You read your Bible every day. You pray every day. Don't go on a break. 40 days of power. Even use it to die more. Now you have the opportunity to die to your love for food. When you smell watching in the morning, it shouldn't affect you. Have you seen somebody waking up because they've cooked his favorite food before? A dead person. If the person like kinky. If the person like kinky and fish and shrimps, hot, pepper and everything. Gaman, typical gaman. He likes all the things around it. And he dies. If you like, go and put the whole kinky kiosk in his bedroom. He will wake up. That's what death means. We are fasting. That's why I'm emphasizing the fasting one. When you wake up in the morning, decide in your heart that today is another opportunity to die to my love for food. 12 o'clock, you are hungry, but you tell your body that you can't be alive when Jesus is here. So if it's only 40 days of power that you know you have ulcer. From 1st July to next year, June, you don't have any ulcer. When they ask you, do you have ulcer, you say no. But when 40 days of power is approaching, then all of a sudden you start feeling some pains in your stomach. It's not ulcer. It's Satan telling you can't fast. It's your flesh being loud. Amen. Amen. Rise to your feet. Let's pray small and then we'll close. I want you to think about anything in your life. Anything in your life, please rise quietly. Rise quietly. This is not the time to chat. I want you to think about anything in your life that is too alive in you or something that you are too responsive to. Some of you is your friends. If your friend says, let's go, it's like something just raises you from wherever you are going. For most of us, it's food. I don't know. Most human beings, 99.9% is food. There are certain kinds of food that when you smell it right now, your fasting has cast. Stop laughing. Focus and pray. Think about the things that you are so sensitive to. Social media, whatever it is that you have become too sensitive to it. Like when that thing happens, then you've put your spirituality aside. Think about it and pray. Tell God that I need your help to die to this thing. I need your help to die to this thing. So if you've tried on your own, so stop trying on your own. Ask for God's help. Close your eyes and pray. Open your mouth. Don't be whispering in. I don't know why people do that. The things in your life that it's like when it happens, then all of a sudden you've forgotten who you are, you've forgotten your identity, you've forgotten that you are a Christian. Some of you, when you see the odds, when you see the betting odds, then it's like, I have to get this money. When you are suffering in the exam room, small, no, then it's like you've forgotten you're a Christian. Sometimes too, you know the answer, but it's your friend who is asking you. Tell the Holy Spirit that you want to be able to die to that thing. You should be unresponsive to it. Tell God, I want to be unresponsive to this thing. That I'll die completely, completely, completely. Some of you, worldly music should not move you anymore. Secular music. When you check, that is the reason why you've been backsliding. Secular music. Tell God that the secular music, you want to die to it. You can relate too much to the lyrics. It's not healthy for a Christian. You can relate too much to the lyrics. It's not healthy for you. Tell God you want to die to it. I want to become so insensitive to this thing that even if my favorite secular musician's song is being played, I won't respond. Those songs should not be moving me anymore. Some of my friends should not have so much of a hold on my life anymore. Pray, open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Don't be considering other people and saying that, oh, they are praying softly, so me too, let me pray softly. It is your life. It is you. You are the one who needs to die to that thing. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. Open your mouth. The series that have been catching you, that run your whole life, that you plan your time around it. Tell God that no, now I want to plan my time around you and spending time with you. That when I wake up, I have to allocate time for God before I find time for any other thing. That's what death means. That everything that seems to give people life no longer has an effect on you. Everything that seems to make people active and alive no longer has an effect on you. So your confidence in life is in the fact that you can go to school and when they are talking about something, you too can contribute to it. You should be dead to that thing. You shouldn't care whether you can contribute or not. Guys, video games. It's video games. You want to tell God that, see, I like video games, but I want to die to this video games thing.
for you. So you wake up, you have a daily dose of video games you play before you even go to school. You want to tell God that I have to stop this thing. I have to give up this thing. Help me. If I try it on my own, I can't do it. So help me. Help me. Talking about video games, I shouldn't care anymore. When my friends are talking about that series, I shouldn't care anymore. Close your eyes and pray. Thank you that you've started a journey with us of dying, being crucified with Christ, giving up our love for the things that we were so excited about just to find you. We know that the ultimate aim of all this is to be able to have a good relationship with you, to be able to find you, to be able to live for you. So Father, we pray that you would help us. We've brought so many things before you. Different things. Everybody has their own thing that is making them feel too alive, that is running their lives. Everybody, each one of us has it, and we are praying that you would help us with it. Help us with it. Everything that we've brought to you today, anything that seems to overtake our emotions, overtake our Christianity, everything that seems to have more power in our lives than you, we are praying that we'll die to it. We are praying that you help us to become unresponsive to it. That no matter how appealing it looks, no matter how nice it looks, no matter how lovely it looks, no matter how exciting it will seem, it will not have an effect on us anymore. That we will always be ready to walk with you. We would always be ready to give up anything in this world just for you. We'll be ready to give it all up. To give up our friends for you. To give up money for you. To give up that good grade for you. We'll be willing to give up anything. We'll be willing to give up food for you. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen. Amen. Let's break up in